the days of a professor writing on a whiteboard equations and regurgitating is gone. You need to engage the class. You need to make it relevant to what they're learning so they understand the purpose of what they're learning and what its application is. We not only teach the basics, but we give them real-life parts or examples in real life and ask them to analyze it using Siemens software.
Welcome to the Next Generation Design Podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Piper. Today, I'm talking to Sam Anand, Professor of Mechanical Engineering at the University of Cincinnati, about his role as the director of the Siemens Simulation Center, how his department is able to utilize NX in their curriculum, and the rapidly evolving world of computer-aided design. Before we begin, let's meet today's guest. Sam, can you tell our listeners about your role at the University of Cincinnati?
I'm a professor of mechanical engineering. I've been here for 32 years. I work in the area of advanced manufacturing, digital manufacturing, intelligent design, and all aspects of IoT, AR, VR, and MR. I am the director of the Siemens Simulation Center at the University of Cincinnati. I'm also the co-director of the Industry 4.0, 5.0 Institute at the University of Cincinnati, that is campus-wide. I've had a breadth of experience with multiple industries. When I say industries, those are research contracts with the university, with Raytheon, Honeywell, P&G, GE, Ford Motor, a whole range of those industries, Ferrucia, and so on. And we have used several pieces of Siemens tools in these contracts and brought them back to the classroom for student experience. So that's a quick overview. So about 35 years of experience in advanced manufacturing and digital manufacturing.
Welcome to the show, and thank you so much for joining us today. I'm curious, how did you start your career in engineering? What first attracted you to the field?
I came to this country in 1984 after I got my master's in mechanical engineering from India. And I came to Penn State. That is where I stayed for about 6 years when I got my master's and doctorate in industrial and manufacturing engineering. And then I moved over to University of Cincinnati in 1990. And that's where I've been since I started. So engineering has always been a passion because it allows us to be creative in solving problems, particularly the gaps in the industry, and coming up with new organic kind of knowledge to solve those problems, either in design or in manufacturing. My passion was manufacturing because I see products and goods made, and we know that is a driver of most economies eventually. So that is where I wanted to put my entire interest and stress here. So in a nutshell, the creativity and the problem-solving capability of engineering is what attracted me. And of course, I haven't left this field, so that is definitely emphasizes my interest in that area.
Was teaching always your end goal?
No, not at all. I was interested in engineering. So when I went to Penn State, obviously, I was interested in getting a master's and a doctorate. But I initially wanted to work at an industry. But the kind of training and the research that I did at Penn State and the basic exposure to different professors from different universities, whom I met at conferences and other kind of scenarios, gave me the impetus to actually become a professor because mingling teaching with the research and problem solving puts you on a sweet spot where you can teach people, you can also do research and also interact with the industry and bring that back to the classroom. That triangle is what I liked, and that's what made me become a professor.
And what kind of courses do you teach? What are you teaching this current semester?
I teach manufacturing. So this semester, I'm teaching a manufacturing process course. It's an undergraduate course where we cover the gamut of all the manufacturing process. Of course, we introduce Siemens software in every part of the curriculum in that course, as we have done throughout the curriculum in mechanical engineering. Right now, about 1,500 students are exposed to Siemens software in various courses. I teach that course in the fall, and typically in spring, I teach a graduate course, which is computational methods in additive manufacturing, where we use, once again, some Siemens tools and our own apps that we have created through Siemens tools as part of the classroom experience. All these courses, the mainstay is to bring real-life industrial problems with simulation to train the students for the next generation of engineers in this digital world and make sure they hit the ground running. Also understand that solving real problems with some industry interaction brings you closer to what you would be doing later on in life. And that provides an extra layer of training. And that is what we strive towards doing.
Which of those courses is actually your favorite to teach?
Two things. One is predictive modeling. So how to model the process and predict how the distortions and the final part quality is going to come out using digital simulation is a big deal. It is a very complex process, particularly when you have heat input. Also looking at intelligent design. How do you design a part in such a way from the get-go at the design stage, you sort of foresee what problems are going to occur downstream and then fix it at the design stage, saving a lot of costs and effort here. So we teach a lot of analysis of the part on a layer-by-layer methods using complex computational geometry and math tools for them to analyze and predict what problems are going to occur downstream and then use that information. We also teach some examples of using IIoT, Industrial Internet of Things, to gather machine information and use that, bring it to the cloud using MindSphere, and then basically use that information to correct the process parameters in real time on the fly so as to effect a correct defect-free part. It's a multi-pronged approach where we fix the design. We also look at modifying process parameters on the fly based on sensor input and how students can learn how those sensor inputs play a part in changing the process parameters and selecting the optimal ones.
When you're doing the additive manufacturing portion of the curriculum, are you also having the students do the actual 3D printing and making the final product themselves? What does the end result look like?
Yes, some of it we do it, some of it it's more computational. So the good news is nowadays, almost everything can be simulated with a digital twin model that we help the students create. So the idea is, instead of wasting time with multiple iterations of design, you simulate and then verify and reiterate and simulate again to get to the final product. So that is faster, time-saving, and gives you a lot more options. That's what we train it. Yes, we do some printing, but the idea is not to train students in the art of printing, but on the math and the physics behind the entire process so they understand the fundamentals and also connect them with simulation and predictive modeling software with all the new tools and AI and machine learning so they can bring that to bear on making a good product here, what we call as a first part, right, with no defects, so that we save costs, save energy, save material, and makes everybody happy.
Well, it sounds like you're having a lot of fun with that, which is great. What types of products are they designing?
So it's basically a range of products. It could be for aircraft parts. It could be for medical devices. So, and depending on the type of parts, the material is different. The design is different. The nuances of the process parameters are different and how to make those things. So a lot of concentration on metal parts, which is a lot more complicated, particularly metal powder additive manufacturing, which is what GE and Raytheon and Boeing and all those folks do for lightweighting parts. So we focus on lightweighting complex designs that can be tailored and made for those kinds of situations. So it's a range of industries from aircraft to auto to medical. We focus on those industries on the cutting edge areas here. But the principles are the same, whether you take the part to GE or to a medical application. We teach the fundamentals and from there on, you can branch out and pretty much make any of these parts here. So it's an evolving field, additive manufacturing. It is changing by the day here, so new things are coming out. So we try to keep up as much as possible.
This industry does change incredibly quickly. So it's great that you already have your students thinking on their feet. So Sam, obviously much of your coursework involves computer-aided design. I'm wondering when you were first introduced to that system.
Oh, that is a while ago. So for my work at Penn State, I was using IDS, which is the precursor to NX and all the other software. IDS was made by, of course, STRC at that time, which eventually morphed into Siemens. So that was my PhD thesis. Part of it was used in IDS. So, and since then, I've taught courses on CAD or CAD and manufacturing for 30 years, and we have evolved through different pieces of software. And of course, we are at NX. I think NX is the pinnacle of top-notch software that can bring it all together, be it design, manufacturing, and analysis. So it helps us train the students in a cutting-edge software used by Fortune 100 industries, GE, Boeing, all the big companies here, so that we train students right in that software here. Yes, NX is the top-notch software, and so that's why we have picked it.
Well, we absolutely love to hear that. Is there anything in particular you like about using NX?
I think it is the range of applications that you can choose from, and the interface is so friendly and smooth once you know how to operate it. It naturally leads you from one step to another, making it logical to work on it. That's the best part of the software here. And each edition of the version of the software brings new tools and new methods, which is great. It's like buying an iPhone 14. You know, it looks the same, but it's got some new features. That's exactly what NX does at, when it moves up every edition.
Have you found it challenging to keep up the pace with the updated functionality? Or do you feel like you're able to incorporate the new features, solutions, or add-on modules as part of the curriculum?
The interface sometimes is different, but if you have used the previous versions, it doesn't take a long time to learn. Just the same analogy as the Apple iPhone, you know, there's new features that pop up. But if you are a user of Apple iOS, it shouldn't take you more than a few minutes to figure things out there and so on. So it is logically sequenced, so the ramp-up is not dramatic. It is not to the point where somebody says and say, wow, I don't even know what the heck it is. It is slow, so it's logical. So I wouldn't think it's really of a concern. It's more of a step-up that people understand. When you step up, things change a little bit.
As you said in your introduction, you're the director of the Siemens Simulation Technology Center at the University of Cincinnati. Can you tell our listeners a bit more about that?
Yeah, the Siemens Simulation Technology Center was formed in 2016 with help from Siemens, a generous gift from Siemens. It had multiple goals, definitely to train students in Siemens software, the suite of Siemens software, in all areas of simulation, predictive modeling, infuse that information into classrooms so that students are seamlessly working on these kinds of software while they learn the fundamentals, and also include information about using the software in industry projects and contracts, and bring that information back to the classroom for real-life student learning. And that is the purpose of the Siemens Center. And also creating packets of learning using Siemens software that we can post on the Siemens Center website that can be replicable, not only by professors at the University of Cincinnati, but by other universities around the world. So we serve as a repository of all those apps and small packets or modules that anybody can use in their courses to make it successful. They're all Siemens-centric packets of software there. So it's been around for about 6 years right now. It is evolving and morphing, where we are integrating Siemens Center activities into the Industry 4.0, 5.0 Institute that was newly formed. I'm the co-director. And the Digital Futures, that's a building I'm sitting at the University of Cincinnati. It's 180,000 square feet building for interdisciplinary research. We are infusing Siemens and Siemens activities and Siemens software into those activities as well, and spreading the knowledge and the information beyond the classroom.
And how has the Siemens partnership impacted engineering in general at the University of Cincinnati?
Oh, tremendously. I think the students are learning a whole suite of software, not only NX. We teach some part of SimCenter 3D, Star CCM Plus, and heat transfer courses. We teach MindSphere, Mendix in our IoT, AR, VR courses. And then all elements of SimCenter 3D that we are talking about, and the accelerator package that is the new push right now, we're teaching all elements. So we have integrated Siemens software into more than 20 to 25 courses, and about 14 to 1500 students are impacted where they see the software used in their homeworks, projects, demos, and so on and so forth. Yes, the students come out with the knowledge of these software and how to use it. And clearly, you know, knowing the fundamentals along with the knowledge of using the software, which is what they're going to see in the industry, helps them seamlessly transition to the industry. And then the use of Siemens software in industries and contracts and research, that brings a different level here of students' experience. It's been highly impactful, and we are grateful to Siemens.
That's an incredible number of students to be able to receive that sort of education before even joining the workforce. What do you think has been the greatest benefit of this partnership for the students?
We bring in Siemens experts now and then to actually interact in the classroom in the form of lectures and presentations. That's an added element, so they see that. Wherever Siemens software is used, when we do research contracts, we bring that back to the classroom, show them the cutting edge of what happens beyond textbook, and then bring in industry folks from those industries to actually interact and show them the value of using Siemens software. So it's a multi-pronged approach here, and students definitely benefit from it. And they go to the industry. And I hear, and this is the feedback we get both in their co-op as well as the actual job, that the transition and the work experience is seamless. And definitely that makes a big difference here. Instead of spending months on training and getting them up to speed, now they can hit the ground running.
That must be a tremendous benefit for them once they do enter the job market. As you know, Siemens does offer an NX student edition with a curriculum element. Can you tell us how you've been able to incorporate that into the classroom?
The NX is taught first time in the sophomore year as a full class. So the students get access to the free software that they can use it on the laptop. Along with that, we have developed ourselves training packets in NX that somebody outside of the classroom, without even going to the classroom, can use and come up to speed with training. It's like a crash course in NX. We can use that. On top of that, we talk about training and the certificates and so on. Some students pick it up, so they move to the next level in training. And the best part is they use NX throughout the curriculum in all their 5 years. The idea is what we call as a degree-wide solution. So we let them use the software in every course and then build on it with other pieces of software so that they don't forget it. So there is some element of it used in every course as they move up from freshman to a sophomore to junior to pre-junior to senior. And so that is the best part of it. So it's not learned in one course and forgotten.
How do you go about teaching NX? What are the steps involved with getting the students educated in the field?
NX is a complex software. So it's not something that you pick on the fly and you can learn it in one afternoon. Obviously, it's complex for a reason. It can do a lot. So we teach that in stages. So, you know, we don't want to go to tier 5 right away. We start at tier 1, teach the basics so they can do some simple modeling based on it. And then we ramp it up stage by stage to the complex parts and all the features of NX here. So it's going to take some time for students to get up to all the levels. But just knowing some basic modeling and, you know, using some of the features of NX will get you up and running for most of your jobs. And that is the mode we use here. We also teach them aspects of generative design, which is the new push right now. So to make them understand optimal designs is a big part of it. We do a lot of work with the companies right now. We have a contract starting with Eaton on using topology optimized designs for heat exchangers using machine learning. And so one of the things is there is no one optimal design. There are suboptimal designs, and there's a suite of other designs that are close to optimal that one may want to pick. And that generative design gives you not one option, but many options that one can choose from. And that is one thing that we want to emphasize. In life, there's no one solution. There is a suite of solutions, and each is applicable in different situations, and you should know how to generate those solutions and go from there. And that is true for most life decisions, too.
That's definitely a very important lesson to hone in on. What about when teaching the digital twin? How does CAD synchronous technology and the digital twin affect mechanical engineering and product design?
So the digital twin, predictive modeling, physics-based modeling, we emphasize those in courses. Students need to learn the fundamentals, but also need to use software to build a predictive model in software so that they can use that framework of a digital twin of the process or the product to sort of look at what-if scenarios. What if I did this? What if I change this? What happens here? So that helps them hone those skills. And of course, there's validation. Building a digital twin has to replicate the real-life model. And once it's validated, then you can use it to plan and also design parts that are optimal and also design the process so that you can make it efficient, sustainable, and also cost-effective with error-free parts. So that is what digital twin does that. And Siemens, with this emphasis on digitalization and digital transformation, and the digital thread of the data flowing from design to process all the way across the manufacturing chain, and the suite of software brings us to the point where we can teach the students the whole swath of those tools to understand digital twin, digital thread here. And that is ramped up in multiple courses. Of course, you cannot teach it in one course. It spreads across multiple courses, and we make it a point to sort of build on it so that when students come out of the curriculum, they know how this works and the digitalization of the process and the product works here. It's a slow process, but we build it up.
What specific courses involve using MX for design? Can you expand on that a bit?
We start with the basic graphics course at the sophomore level and then move up the chain. We use it in mechanical design course. We use it in strength of materials for designing parts and doing basically sim-centered 3D analysis using NX Nastran. And then we move up and build once again NX models for our heat transfer courses where we may use TAR-CCM Plus for analysis. We use NX models in a manufacturing process course for building parts and analyzing those parts for machining or additive manufacturing. So NX is used in every course where you need a product for analysis. We use it over and over again here and build on it. And of course, NX is used later on in the senior design when students work on an actual industry design problem. All of them use NX for modeling the product and doing all the analysis using Siemens suite of software.
And what types of projects are the students working on in these courses?
Typically, what they would do is there's a combination of things here. One is we need to teach them. For example, you take manufacturing process. We teach them NXCAM, NX computer-aided manufacturing for machine tool paths. So we give them parts and ask them to do the process plan for making the part using machining. And then they come back into NXCAM and plan the tool paths and visualize the tool paths using NXCAM to make sure that the process plan and the tool paths they have designed works correctly. And then the output of that is the NC code. We can take it and feed it to a virtual machine and see actually how it works here. So that's an example of using NX into NXCAM for the students to actually go through the process of getting to the interface of NXCAM, designing the tool paths, designing the process, visualizing using a tool path simulation software that's inbuilt into NX and doing it. Same thing for NX additive manufacturing. You could build a part and then look at support structures you need for the part, look at slicing, the time it takes, and all those problems here. And we have our own apps that we have constructed within NX additive manufacturing that we use a lot of those apps inside here. So it's a combination using Siemens tools, NATO tools, but also tools that we have built using Siemens NX APIs, application programming interface that we built here.
What kind of feedback are you getting on these courses? Are they generally well received by the students?
The students like the fact that they are learning a digital tool. The days of a professor writing on a whiteboard equations and regurgitating is gone. You need to engage the class. You need to make it relevant to what they're learning so they understand the purpose of what they're learning and what its application is. So the Siemens software and the tools exactly fits in that mode. So we not only teach the basics, but we give them real-life parts or examples in real life and ask them to analyze it using Siemens software. Now, they don't have to write the equations because they know the software and the tools within Siemens already has the equations built in that saves us the trouble. You know, after they work with pencil and paper, we bring it to the next step here so that in real life, when you go to an industry, you don't grab your pencil and calculator and paper and slog it out. You use the software here to do exactly what it does here. And that is the enlightenment that they get and say, wow, so now I can do what I was doing. Took me 2 hours to do. I can do it in 10 minutes. And I can run 50 examples in 1 hour, which I would never be able to do with pencil and paper.
It sounds like you're really bringing things into the 21st century. Can you tell me a bit more about what sort of research projects you're currently focusing on? What do you have underway?
We do a range of projects, and all of them, we use a lot of the Siemens software. We make it a point to use commercial software so that we keep it all above board. We do projects on additive manufacturing design, looking at, we do NX-based designs on trying to analyze designs and write our own graphic user interface within NX. Write our own menus so that we apply our algorithms and computational geometry methods for doing analyzing a part design and then segregating it and doing analysis to find out the process parameters in additive manufacturing or problem areas when you make a part and then highlight it so the designers can make changes to the part or change the process parameters. That's one area. We also look at, you know, layer by layer analysis of the part using first principles of physics and then look at distortion prediction for additive manufacturing and compensation within NX at this point. We do a lot of work on IoT on gathering machine data automatically and pulling it into the cloud and then doing analysis and trend analysis and correlating that with process parameters to make optimal parts here so that we change the process on the fly. We also bring in AR and VR right now. So the AR is augmented reality. So you can get that data onto your iPad as you look at the machine and superimpose machine data on your iPad so that you can see what's going on in the machine when you walk up to the machine close by. You'll see a picture of the machine, but you also see parameters of the machine data and what's going on right on your iPad. So that's your mixed reality interface here. We're doing projects with the medical school on using additive manufacturing for cranial flap repair for neurosurgery, where we collect CT scan data and actually analyze it for making a 3D printed part. So a lot of a range of applications from aerospace to automotive.
Can you talk a bit about your experience with the Digital Manufacturing Design Innovation Institute?
It was a federal initiative based by the Obama government. It is based in Chicago, Illinois, UI Labs, University of Illinois Labs at Chicago. So in a nutshell, it is government funding to enhance the manufacturing competitiveness of this country. So it started off in 2015 or 16 or so. So one of the first projects we did there was on virtual modeling and prediction of metal powder additive manufacturing. We partnered with GE Global Research and University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign along with Texol, where we were using NX APIs that we talked about for analyzing part designs, looking at problem areas of the part, what we call as DFAM, design for additive manufacturing features, so as to highlight those features so that we can fix those parts here and then do some analysis. We wrote a paper based on that, and it was awarded the best paper at the North American Manufacturing Research Conference.
Wow, that's tremendous. And what other DMDII projects have you been a part of?
The next DMDIA project was led by University of Cincinnati. I was the principal investigator. We worked with Perusia and Raytheon for an IoT device. IoT is Industrial Internet of Things, for collecting machine data using inexpensive Logitech cameras that you can place in front of machines, an older machine that does not have sensors, and then recording the parameters of the machine that you see there and then analyzing it on the fly, so that you can display it on your computer very far away. So the idea was to combine the data from dumb machines with smart machines so that you see it as one big dashboard interface that you can use here. And we push that data onto the cloud and we pulled it back into an AR device and so on. And the brand new project that we finished on MXT was with Boeing and Siemens, Siemens Corporate. That involves digital twin using machine learning and then optimizing process parameters for a particular Boeing process. And of course, it's proprietary, so I can't get into the actual Boeing process here. But what we use is we use computer vision, image processing, machine learning, and digital twin to actually affect process changes on the fly so as to make a part correct all the time and fix it as it goes out of whack before the next part comes up at that point. So it's a good experience of using those parts here and working with industries. So those are the three projects here. University of Cincinnati is a Tier 1 MXT member. And of course, we work closely with Siemens and some of those projects here.
That must be very exciting that the University of Cincinnati is able to be involved with those types of projects as well. Sam, before we finish, I'd love to know, what is your biggest tip for a young engineer just starting out learning MX?
Be patient. There is a learning curve. You will run into hurdles initially, but once you get past a certain point, it'll get much smoother and you will start enjoying it. The reason is now you'll start exploring the features of NX, which is tremendous features. It spread itself in different areas. You can do electrical design, you can do mechanical design, you can do aircraft part design, you can do additive manufacturing parts. So there is no end to it. It goes into all the areas that you can think of. But once you master those things, you start enjoying it because now you can see the power of NX and the associated software to do so much analysis that 20 years ago, people could not even imagine. That is the part that we try to emphasize, that the digital tools and the computing power has increased so tremendously that this is a new age right now that you can do all kinds of analysis and come up with great part designs, novel part designs, and novel ideas that you couldn't have done 20 years ago.
I'd like to look forward a bit. With technology evolving at such a rapid pace these days, how do you see the curriculum changing when teaching MX and other Siemens software for that matter?
I think the idea is to integrate MX early in the curriculum and make it a mainstay of using NX in other courses for part design and analysis, and then using those part designs seamlessly integrated with other applications like SimCenter 3D, StarCCM Plus, other applications in each of those courses. So the base NX always comes back in courses. And one of the things we are contemplating is using one product as a project in each course. And it's like akin to making a product in a factory and different departments coming and actually providing input and modifying the design. So we want to make that same scenario as students move through different courses and take the same product and do thermal analysis, mechanical design analysis, stress analysis, but it's the same part. So they know the effects of these kinds of analysis on the same part and how it evolves and changes and why the different features of design come to bear so that it satisfies a particular constraint here. Once again, NX is the backbone that we want to use for all these courses here.
Well, that's wonderful to hear. And where do you see the future of design headed in general?
I'm one of those folks who does a lot of research contracts and then try to bring it to the classroom. There is a lot of effort right now on designing multifunctional, multi-material parts. So how do we combine multiple materials to make it low weight? At the same time, it satisfies some heat transfer constraints. Maybe on one side, it is insulated. One side is conducting. It's an aircraft application. Or it could be something that has some vibration properties that's specific to that application. So how do you do multi-functional applications on the same part by combining materials using topology-optimized design, which is lightweight organic designs? So that is a new frontier. And doing intelligent designs to predict manufacturing problems beforehand so that you make design modifications ahead of time on these multifunctional, multi-material designs that you construct here. So that is the big deal. And also applications in medical, aerospace, auto, all these things are ripe open right now for those kinds of new kinds of materials and new kinds of combining different materials to your best effect, you know, making a lightweight part, at the same time making the bringing in the functionality of the heat, the vibration, the thermal loading, all into one part here to make it optimal for you. That's a new front right now.
Are there any final thoughts you'd like to add about your program at the University of Cincinnati?
I do want to say something. I'm actually sitting in this brand new Digital Futures building, which is a brand new entity, and it is basically an interdisciplinary research facility, which has 17 labs and across the curriculum, right, from folks in business or art or design are all sitting here, and the common theme is digital, but they work on it. And that is, you know, obviously we have some space here that we've been given, we have been identified as a good example of using digital tools in our research and curriculum, and that's why we've been called here. So just wanted to plug in that particular element here. And so other than that, you know, we are excited to partner with Siemens. It's been an excellent journey, and it is getting even better in terms of the tools we're using, the collaboration we are seeing. And we are working right now with folks at Siemens Milford on new areas that we want to penetrate using Siemens software and bring it back into the classroom. It always comes back to that so that we, the students, benefit on a well-rounded education. And also, if we are graduate students, they benefit from a good research portfolio that they can use when they graduate and find good employment.
Thank you so much, Sam, for being with us today. Hopefully, we'll talk to you again soon.
Jennifer, thank you. And I really appreciate the opportunity given by Siemens. And thank you for the excellent questions. Much appreciated.
Thank you to our listeners for tuning in to today's episode. Join us next time for more discussions about the latest in design innovations in software applications. I'm your host, Jennifer Piper, and this has been Next Generation Design.